Derek woke to the buzzing of the alarm on his phone. That's really all his phone had been useful for over the last 3 days. It was 6:30 a.m. Still no signal. "Morning," whispered Jenny, who lay beside him with their son tucked in beside her. "Morning. Sorry, did I wake you?" "No, I just finished feeding him. Hopefully he'll sleep for a few hours now." Jenny had been getting up to do all the feed since the power had gone off. There was no way to store or warm the express milk now, so Derek was of no use at feeding time, although he did usually get up to provide moral support. Jenny had been careful not to wake him this morning, though, as she knew he had an early start. "The electric's still off," said Jenny.
"Yeah, there's still no phone signal either."
"How long's this gonna last?" she whispered. "What do we do if it goes on for days?" Derek didn't know how to answer. He just shook his head slowly.
"I'll light a fire for you before it goes so that the place is warm when you get up."
Jenny gave a tired smile.
"Thank you."
He leaned over and kissed her on the forehead.
"I'll see you tonight. Be careful."
Derek couldn't bear the thought of another cold shower, so he had a pits and bits wash at the sink and used a generous amount of deodorant. He'd have a shower and work, he told himself. He lit the fire as promised, ensuring that it was stacked with enough coal to keep it going for at least a couple of hours, and got dressed in his uniform for the first time in 2 weeks. He decided to put his shoulder holster on today instead of the more discreet ankle holster he normally wore. He was still a little spooked from the day before, although he had more or less convinced himself that he was being paranoid. He opened the gun safe in the hall and slid one of the magazines into his personal protection weapon, racking the slide to put a round in the chamber. It was against his safe handling training, but he didn't care. A fraction of a second could be the difference between life and death. He strapped it into the holster and adjusted his overcoat to make sure it was concealed. Before approaching his car, Derek checked up and down the street. It was early, so the street was quiet. He rounded the car to the driver's side and with another quick glance around, he dropped into a press-up position. He scanned the underside of the car. Nothing seemed out of place or foreign. He'd started to become a little complacent about his safety routine lately, especially the checking of his car. Every petrol station on Derek's route was closed, and the metal shutters were down in all the shops, even those that would normally open at 7 a.m. The roads were deserted, and he passed only a handful of pedestrians in total. Derek slowed when he saw blue flashing lights ahead. Two police cars were parked beside a small supermarket. It didn't have a roller shutter and the large window beside the front door was smashed, with glass and debris strewn all around. A small group of police officers stood with what was likely the owner. It was clear that the shop had been looted in the night. Desperation had obviously set in for some people who'd probably not been able to get access to cash for supplies. Derek was lucky that he'd been able to find enough cash and that Seamus Owens had been open the day before. But even still, he'd only got enough essentials to last another couple of days and their cash was almost gone. What's it going to be like by the end of the week? It was a worrying thought. They better get the bloody power on soon. The motorway was similarly quiet. And apart from a few abandoned cars on the hard shoulder, probably out of fuel, he saw less than a dozen vehicles along the 10-mile stretch of road. Four of those had been a small convoy of army vehicles heading towards the city.
At least they're mobilising, he thought.